Hey there, welcome to ATL and 29, a podcast that looks at the NBA from the starting point of Atlanta. The NBA action in Atlanta was pretty good tonight. A historic comeback for the Hawks. Is that fair to say? They went on a 60-20 run in the second half and put together quite a comeback against the Minnesota Timberwolves. Glenn, what did you see from the Hawks tonight?
Just the character to kind of pull themselves together after a terrible first half. A lot of that was just defensive execution. Understandably, maybe the energy was just a little off, or maybe a lot off at the beginning of the game, playing the second night back to back with that travel all the way from Milwaukee and such. But I just feel like you don't want to make too much out of one game. But at the same time, this feels like something that just looks and feels different about this team, even 4 games into the season, that they went from having themselves be way off defensively to being so on defensively in the second half. And that, as NBA coaches talk about a lot, that defense fed their offense, and that defensive energy that they created kind of fed their offensive energy. And so just to recover like that significantly, on the defensive end of the court, and to show so much persistence, starting the second half down, so big, that's just an impressive thing to watch.
So for me, looking at the defense in the second half, sort of style-wise, to me, it looked like when Gobert was in, they were dropping their big. Clint was kind of patrolling the lane, trying to deal with the ball handler and Gobert at the same time. And when Gobert was out, it seemed like they were doing some very... they were switching, but they were very persistent about not giving up the switch. They were also just kind of making sure that if they could avoid getting screened, they weren't getting screened. So it was good to see that level of it wasn't a concession switch. It seemed like, if they could avoid the switch, they'd avoid it. But if they did, then it was mostly just going to be switching without Gobert in the game. And first of all, I want to fact check. I don't even know if that's right. And second of all, was that different than anything they did in the first half?
Yeah, so it's interesting because in the first half, Minnesota kind of got wherever they wanted with the ball. And it was a little bit of a ramp down of the big being really aggressive at the level, except right in the middle of the floor. But I mean, Minnesota is so big, so if your big is up above the free throw line helping on a ball screen, they got Kyle Anderson running the baseline. They got either Gobert running the baseline. They get behind you, and they pounce on those opportunities. And so I felt like that put a lot of stress on the way that the Hawks were defending. It's like, oh, do we want to keep doing what we've been doing and get the big all the way up to the level? And are we big enough on the backside when we do that to kind of protect these guys who can kind of run the baseline? And nothing clicked in that sense. And I felt like in the second half, it started with some ball pressure, not just random ball pressure, but ball pressure to push the ball away from the middle of the floor. And that gave them, that was the first kind of point of correction, in my view, that kind of gave them the levers they needed to kind of do all the other things they want to do. When you're pushing the ball to the side of the floor, you are eliminating a lot of the need to get your big all the way up the floor in middle ball screens, right? And so they were able to kind of pack the paint and kind of keep the big back in a better rebounding position and a better opportunity to protect the rim. And so I just thought their guards and wings did a great job just pushing the ball away. It's interesting to me that the Timberwolves didn't really ride Anthony Edwards in that situation, because he was able to get middle snaking the pick and roll, seemed like, all night long. He's still, I think, adjusting to being like a real lead guy, and I think he still has a lot of learning and growing to do. And when the Hawks really changed up the way that they were defending in the second half, you know, I think what you see in Edwards is still some slowness to kind of recognize the change and then kind of adapt to the change himself. So for me, in the second half, started pushing the ball to the side, not having to get the big up the floor as much. And then everything just kind of stayed kind of, you know, where they wanted it in that sense. They still made a lot of high energy plays, you know, and the ball would swing from one side to the other. Trey did a great job closing out, you know, on the left corner one time. I thought and he had an impact on the shooter. And, you know, another time Trey jumped a long pass and kind of got them going in transition. Other guys did as well. But I think it was mainly about pushing. You know, I imagine if I were in the locker room with Quinn at halftime or however that, you know, that goes when he talks to them, it's, hey guys, we can't get the big up that high because they're just going to kill us on, you know, guys in the dunker spot or guys coming out of the weak side corner for lobs. We've got to push the ball out to the side. And that's what I saw. And they executed it, it seemed like, flawlessly.
Yeah, it seemed like they were searching in the first half, like they were trying different things. They started out the game with Capella on Gobert and Jalen Johnson on Cat. And then a few minutes in, after things weren't going well, they switched it. That didn't last very long either. They got out of that. I think there was some zone at times. But yeah, your point about getting to the middle of the floor, you know, it left the side defenders. Like, I thought Bay and Griffin were having a lot of trouble because they were being asked to do a lot, frankly, but they weren't doing it particularly well either. You know, trying to cover on the backside. I think Bay missed at least one. AJ completely missed a rotation on one. And I was kind of interested to see. It's hard to separate one from the other, but you know, after I think that rotation that AJ missed was right before he would have gone out of the game in the first half anyway. And then we didn't really see him in the second half until garbage time. But that may have just coincided with DeJounte going nuclear. Yeah. Because he had 22 in the third quarter. And like, well, whose minutes is he going to steal from if Quinn Snyder just says, you know what, things are going well, I'm going to roll with it, that he got AJ's minutes. So, you know, it's hard to separate. You know, was there some disappointment with AJ, or was it just, you know, the very obvious decision to just roll with a hot hand?
Yeah, and it's funny, I mentioned this on Twitter, but like Quinn used to do that with Donovan Mitchell a lot. Like, well, they're behind and Donovan got it going in the second half, oftentimes he would just roll with them, you know, and that worked out really well tonight, you know. And it is a little surprising on the second night of a back-to-back. But I think that's the adaptability that, you know, coaches have to have these days, to think like, okay, I mean, this is how we got here back in, you know, back in the game, and we're going to kind of ride that, you know. And so I think that did kind of impact the rotation and such. But, you know, I mean, just an interesting kind of thing here I was looking at. So like all of the stuff that Minnesota was generating at the rim, and you know, and they were creating a good bit of that by just knocking down all of their three-point shots in the first half, it seemed like, right?
Right.
But Gobert, Towns, and Reed, you know, so they're three bigs, you know, we'll say, 36 field goal attempts. Capella and Okongwu, six. And and the Hawks put up 127 points. You know, and I think there's a couple things. One is, you know, I want to ask myself, is Minnesota using Mike Conley enough? You know, that's just something I'm curious about. Kyle Anderson was playing point four, like a lot of they tried to use Kyle Anderson as a kind of a point guard in the second half to kind of get them still stabilized. So they were searching too, you know, in that sense. But it's just interesting that, you know, Gobert, Towns, and Reed, and you know, put up so many shots compared to Capella was 0 for 3, and Congo was 3 for 3. Of course, Quinn closed with the Congo, which I think was the right move. But I mean, when you watch them play in the first half and you see them struggling to kind of deal with Gobert and Towns, and then Reed's ability to space the floor, especially, and he has good ball skill even beyond the shooting. I mean, you feel like you're watching the game, and like the last thought you'd have is that they're going to close the game with Jalen Okongwu, you know. But that just goes to show like how effectively they were, you know, 1 through 3 at pushing the ball wide. You know, that gave them that opportunity to do that. And I felt like their speed and transition was a big part of what they did in the second half. You know, and I enjoyed Jalen, because for Jalen, with Jalen, it was kind of a rough game in some spots. He had, I mean, dealing with Towns is really hard, you know. But here I'm like, but I'm looking at this 5 for 7, 3 assists, 5 rebounds, a steal, a block, plus 19, you know. And it's like, it felt like there were like several key times when he just couldn't kind of do what he wanted to do, you know. And you still look at how productive that line is, you know. It's, and I, to me, especially like executing the passes when that's really kind of all he had going for a decent stretch in the game was his passing. And for him to like, and this, you know, and it's kind of proving to be in these last two games anyway, characteristic of the broader team, like just sticking with it and doing what you can do and then working on the rest and problem solving, you know, on the fly. And so it's just, you know, it's amazing, because I think a lot of teams with the Hawks' traditional kind of pick and roll approach are like, no, we want the guards to have to do all the heavy lifting offensively from a scoring standpoint. Well, I mean, can't really blame them for, you know, DJ having a career night necessarily. You know, I mean, there are things they could have done more aggressively just with him, but the Hawks were countering that. As soon as they got more aggressive with him, the Hawks were, you know, Quinn talked about it post game, you know. He gave the ball to Trey, and Trey started kind of initiating, you know. But it was just kind of incredible to watch this team who just didn't seem to have this capability to kind of work through adversity last year in that way. Do it tonight on the second night of a back to back with travel. It just feels like a different characteristic of the team. And I mean, it's just once, so we'll have to see if they can kind of, you know, navigate things this effectively again. It won't always go this way for sure. You know, DJ's not going to have probably another perfect quarter like this. And, you know, the whole season, that there's probably going to be 4 or 5 of those, the holes across the whole NBA this year, you know, like that. So, but it just jumps out at you that like, this might be different. This might be a different quality this team has at this point. And they've been a kind of a young-ish team, you know, learning and growing, and maybe, you know, the pieces have kind of come together at the right time, and they're able to really trust each other, trust the coaching staff, trust the plan, and just keep working. And they did that tonight.
Yeah, you mentioned Jalen, and I sit next to a mensch named Brad Rowland, and at halftime, I was like, you know, this still feels like a winnable game. I don't know. What was the deficit? 19 at half, sounds maybe?
Right. Yeah, sounds right. Yeah.
Something like that. And, you know, part of that is it's like, without necessarily doing a whole lot wrong, it's not like, I don't think Jalen had a bad first half.
Yep.
But the problem is, I don't even know if it's a problem, but the thing of it is that if the Hawks can't play enough defense, or if the other team just gets hot enough that they don't miss shots, then you don't really get Jalen. Like, you don't get the good stuff from Jalen, because, you know, what you're going to get out of Jalen is transition, you know, passing and transition and defense. And his defense was, you know, certainly passable in the first half. It's not like it was a disaster. Towns is just a great player. Mm-hmm. But it's just like, you know, that the moment the Hawks put 2 stops together in a row and Jalen's on the floor, like, something good is probably going to come of that. And, you know, you certainly wouldn't expect 22 points from DeJounte in a quarter, or necessarily, deleting the whole 19-point deficit in the third quarter. But you expect that, okay, you know, in that moment where you get 2 or 3 good minutes of defense in a row and a little bit of momentum, you know, something good is going to happen because Jalen's on the floor. And when he pushes, that just makes the defense react more than they want to, because it really takes more than one person to stop them.
Yeah, and it's funny because, I mean, again, it's just hard to believe this is 4 games, but it felt like, you know, in the first game, you know, like trade like it's like the whole team knows, like Jalen's on the floor, we have these opportunities, and Jalen's like the one person who doesn't realize, like, you know, how much he can impact the game, or maybe doesn't full it seemed like he didn't fully realize that. And now, like, here we are in the fourth game, and Trey is just, when they're on the court together, Trey is just looking for him on every fast break, you know. And that's a and it's just it's a fun thing. It's a fun thing to watch. Jalen, every time I see him, you know, do like he did the windmill tonight, I'm like, is he gonna be in the dunk contest? You know, which is not my favorite event ever. I mean the Aaron Gordon and Zach LaVine one stuff was definitely, that was definitely worth watching. But so many others are not my favorite thing to watch, but it's kind of interesting. But you know, it's funny because I know that we were commenting, like, in the first half, like how rough it was for Bay. And I want to, you know, again, kind of state, like he doesn't really have the length to kind of deal with kind of that, all that space that, you know, when they were getting the big up in the middle, up the floor in the middle. And the Timberwolves just have so much length. But in the second half, he was so good defensively. It wasn't just him, but
Right.
like I felt like his own individual recovery was huge. I mean, he was working really hard on the boards, and he would, you know, and he was helping, you know, down the weak side, and he was closing out, he was fighting, you know, through screens, he was helping push the ball wide, you know. And so I just felt like if I'm going to call out one person defensively, you know, in this game, that this is kind of, it's pr not really fair to do that, because I feel like sometimes we don't put enough attention on team defense, and that's really what it was. But for as rough as it was for him in the first half, how solid he was, how good and helpful he was in the second half, that was impressive too. And you know, and when we watched Bay play last year after the trade, you know, we always felt like, oh man, it's going to be an offense for defense kind of thing. Are we getting enough offensive juice from him to kind of offset the stuff on defense? And even if, you know, in these games, you know, I felt like against Milwaukee, he was really good defensively, and others were too. But I feel like, you know, even when his shot isn't falling, he's working as a rebounder. You know, he's trying to create deflections. He's, you know, trying harder to stay connected and communicate and those things. And I mean, I know that, like, not everyone just kind of trying to watch the basketball, you just enjoy the basketball game, necessarily cares about kind of that level of detail. But that stuff really adds up, you know, in terms of, you know, wins and losses, is getting your sixth or seventh or eighth guy or whatever he is, you know, kind of like, okay, like, you know, and he made most of his shots tonight. He's 4 for 5, hit all three of his threes, you know, tonight. But you know, but him being a part of the shared commitment to figure it out defensively, and that's just not something that I think that we were very confident we were going to kind of see, as him making a defensive impact, and he did tonight just as much as anyone in the second half almost, you know. So that's a lot.
Yeah, I mean, I still think it's like the X factor. It's like, you know, he's an unbelievable offensive weapon, and he, you know, there's it's undeniable that he plays hard. Like he, you know, he's got a motor, and you know, it's just that he, you know, from time to time, it's still like he plays a little bit like the new guy, like he's, you know, a tenth of a second behind some of his teammates on some of these reads, some of the situations where he's a passer. It's like, you know, you just, he doesn't, you know, he still kind of looks like that guy that hasn't been here as long as some of his teammates. And so, you know, if that changes, you know, that's really the strength of this team, is that they're eight deep. You know, it's like they have eight starters. He, you know, he might be the eighth starter, but you know, he's a, kind of a starter quality NBA player in
He
a lot of
absolutely is.
respects. And so, you know, that's where the Hawks can distinguish themselves, and that's why I think, like, whether or not he gets to that level is really going to determine a lot of how far this team goes this season, if they can stay healthy.
And like, you know, another thing, like a team kind of, you know, just putting it together. You know, Bogey was 2 for 7 tonight, which is not a terrible. I mean, if he goes 3 for 7, you're like, that's good, you know. For some reason, we think 2 for 7 is not good, just because we're used to Bogey making, you know, such a, you know. But Bogey 2 for 7 from the 3-point line, and in this game, Hunter, Jalen, and Bay combined to go 7 for 10. You know, and so just the other, you know, wings and, you know, fours and kind of, you know, making the shots Bogey wasn't making was just huge, you know. AJ played 6 minutes, but that play he made where he was, you know, driving and Bay relocated to the right corner and he kind of had that kickout pass kind of behind him. I just thought every single play they made in the first half, even though the score was lopsided, was so huge. It's like being down, I mean, it may sound silly, being down 20 instead of 30, you know, right. Or being down 20, so, you know, and I and the fact that even in the first half, like the defense was a mess, but you could see like they were trying to make the right plays on offense. They kept working. They didn't lose their cool. They didn't get frustrated with each other. Their body language was good, you know, overall, and they just kept working at it. And that's just a little different than what I felt like we've seen the last couple of years.
Yeah, that's a good point. I feel like we haven't talked. I mean, the thing is like, I don't even know what you say about it. Like, what do you say about what Deshaun Tate did?
What a two game. Like, I mean, the job he did on Dame, and again, it wasn't just him. They were getting the big up there and, you know, mm-hmm. and stuff like that. But his ball pressure, like he generated a lot of ball pressure. And then, you know, and the other thing I feel like that helps with is, with Hunter's injury history, I don't think you can play Hunter on a point guard defensively the whole game. He's just not going to make it through the season, it feels like, you know.
Right.
If that's the defensive workload you ask him to do.
Yeah, it was weird. Like in the second half, it's like, well, he's guarding McDaniels. It's like, that's almost a waste. Like, I mean, he's still a good help defender and stuff, but it's almost funny to see that, like, you know, like, you know, with all of the talent that Minnesota puts out there offensively, it just seemed a little bit funny to see him on McDaniels.
Yeah, but I mean, they never asked him. I think there was one possession he got caught on Towns. But I mean, on the second night of a back-to-back, if you can reduce his defensive workload, that's just going to help him, I think, have a better chance of kind of getting through the season without, you know, having some of the injury, you know, things that he's run into, you know.
Right.
And so I felt like DJ, like Murray played 39 minutes on the second night of back-to-back with travel after what he did, you know, to Dame, you know, on Sunday. And that's just, you know, that's astonishing. And then post-game, you know, I don't always, you know, have the time to kind of stick through, but DeJounte was talking about, you know, I'm focused on doing the job that's needed on defense. And, you know, and he talked about the team being collectively, you know, talented enough on offense that you don't really have to worry about where that's going to come from. That's going to kind of, he didn't use the word organic, but I felt like if I'm summarizing what he said, that's going to kind of be an organic thing that no one has to worry about it, you know. Mm-hmm. But but he wants to be a leader on defense. And, you know, we've talked before about how I felt like, you know, he was one of the weaker players on defense in that Boston series, you know, and for him to take the step he's taken here and have the impact that he's had tonight, I thought he was the best generating ball pressure in the second half.
Yeah.
The job he did on Dame. And if that's what they're going to get all season long, we've talked about getting them from roughly 25th to 15th in defense. What, you know, Bay figured kind of giving them a good half tonight. That moves the needle. Murray giving them what he's been giving him these last couple games, that moves the needle. Trey is effort, you know.
Trey's been good all season long. Like
I know.
Any complaints about what Trey has done on defense this year. Like, he's always going to be 6'1". He's always going to have to scrap for stupid things like charges and stuff. But, like, decision-making and effort, like, that's all you can really ask for, and he does that.
He's done it consistently for 4 games, you know, and you're exactly right, you know. And that's the stuff that gets you from, you know, being, say, I don't know, top 7 in offense and bottom 9 in defense. And that's what gets you trying to fight your way out of the play-in. And this kind of stuff is the stuff that gets you to, like, hey, you know, instead of, you know, trying to fight out of 7th, you know, maybe we can get to 5 or 4, you know. And that's the stuff that has to show up consistently. But they've shown it, you know. I know Hawks fans were feeling terrible after, you know, 2 losses. You know, the Hawks fans always want them to beat the Knicks, and they didn't play well against Charlotte. Their defensive execution against New York, we talked about that, was not where it needs to be. And these last 2 games, man, it just felt like watching a different team, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah, I have a bone to pick, not even a bone, a complaint that I want on the official record. I don't want to see Bogey leading the third team offense in garbage time. Find Trent Forrest, find Patty Mills, find somebody, anybody, give the ball to AJ. I don't care who it is, but like, that's just needless. He doesn't need that extra 2 minutes of grind when the game is over and every other valuable player is on the bench.
Yeah. Yeah, that was weird.
I think it's two games running now that we've seen something like that.
Yeah.
I don't know. My memory's fuzzy, but definitely tonight. And I think last night too, it's like, that's just not needed.
Yeah. And I mean, and like the other thing is like in those minutes, like this is a complete aside, but like if there's one guy in this team that needs to play that's not playing for where he is in his career, it's Garrison Matthews.
Oh, yeah.
He's ready for a chance to, you know, and I'm not saying that like Quinn is making a mistake, you know, AJ should be the priority, no brainer, right? But if we're saying it's between the two of those guys, but you know, he must be, I imagine he's frustrated, but like, you know, he wasn't thrown out there. Like, let Kobe run the offense for three possessions. And like, hey, you know, I mean, yeah. It feels like every little bit would help. So, you know, I don't know if Hawks fans recognize that he's the one guy, one depth piece that's really kind of at a, you know, fork in the road in terms of kind of whether he's going to get the opportunity to show what he can do. And I like him. He competes, he can really knock down shots, you know. So it's, you know, I'd like to see a little more of him when there's the opportunity to put him out there, you know. So, yeah, I mean, is there anything you want to cover in the Bucks game? The one thing that jumped out to me was like they were defending Giannis kind of like a lot of teams defend Embiid. They were like really attacking his ball handling. You know, he got the ball in the short roll. There's two defenders, you know, digging right away.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then, you know, so it was just interesting to me that like Milwaukee couldn't solve for that, you know, really. So, and I mean, apart from Dame, their guard play, especially when Middleton's not playing,
right?
It's pretty rough. I mean,
that illustrates the difference between the Hawks and the Bucks. It's like, you would love to have Dame, you would love to have Giannis on your team, but they do not go eight deep the way the Hawks do. Mm-hmm. It gets
thin. They miss Javon Carter. They miss Grayson Allen. I know Grayson Allen's not everybody's favorite player, but he's a good NBA player. You know, and Drew. Like, I mean, it's like, I mean, I don't know if people realize, like, Giannis is maybe the best player in the league in transition, and Dame doesn't like to run. Drew pushed all the time, you know. And so there's a lot that Milwaukee has to work through. I think to kind of, and that's, I think the reason, like when I put out my projected standings for the East, you know, nobody probably cares. But that's one reason I put Boston 1 and Milwaukee 2. I just feel like Milwaukee has a lot to kind of work through. And I know that, you know, Boston's ending last year didn't look very graceful, you know, and they made some interesting, you know, changes of their own, but they added Drew, you know, and I just think that's going to help them a lot. But, you know, Milwaukee has a lot to work through. You know, and sure, like if you, I think a lot of organizations would say, oh, our starting point is Giannis and Dame. Okay, we'll figure the rest out. That's not dumb, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean that like everything else is going to work. They're still very like tilted towards the four and the five. Portis is good. Brooke Lopez is awesome. You know, obviously got Giannis in the mix there and, you know, and stuff. But they need more help than they have. They need more ball handling. They need, I think, you know, I think maybe campaign can like push the pace a little bit, but I mean, he's not going to do it like Drew, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But that's an interesting team to kind of keep an eye on.
Any thoughts on the next game? The Hawks are going to be playing the Wizards, who did
do you think
not,
Hawks fans? Yeah,
they didn't have Daniel Gafford tonight, and they started Kyle Kuzma at center.
That's
and
something.
Got run through a buzzsaw by Boston.
Shocking.
What are they doing?
Playing for what's the guy's name that like committed to Duke? Flag?
Cooper Flag, I think.
Yeah, I mean there's a lottery, so you gotta need the ping pong balls to go in your favor, so it's not a foolproof at all. But you know, I mean, they're trying to play their young guys, you know, I think, and they, it's kind of a weird roster. But I would ask you, like, I think Hawks fans hear us talking about this as if this is not a game to worry about. They're like, we watched that Charlotte game, you know, and we've watched this team last year lose games to bottom eight teams, whatever you want to say, in the league. Mm-hmm. And that showed up in terms of where they fell at the end of the season, being in the play-in. So, yeah, do you think Hawks fans are like, okay, this is a test. This is a test. Are you going to mess around against a team that you really should not have any trouble beating, and it's going to be a 5-point game with 5 minutes to go? Yeah, Hawks fans are probably like, I want to see if they kind of if this part of this team this year is different.
And it's not a joke. I mean, it's like the fourth game in six nights or something like that. Like, it's
for sure.
It's a, you know, it's a real mental and physical challenge to do that.
It is. Yeah. I mean, it's funny. You and I talk all the time that the NBA schedule is a grind.
Mm-hmm.
And this will be game five. And that's not too early for some of that to be kind of impacting you, you know? So, you know, thank goodness they, you know, didn't have to play 48 intense minutes against the Bucks. So it left them enough juice to come back in the game tonight. And then against Washington, it's like, you know, I'm the one who used to say about this team, they try to figure out how much defense they need to play to win the game and don't play an ounce more, right? That's not what they've been doing the last two games. But this is a test, like against the Wizards. Are they going to be like, you know, a B-minus effort on defense or C-plus effort on defense should be enough? That's kind of what I think we saw too often these last few years. Or are they going to come out and be like, no, we're playing defense the right way from the beginning. It doesn't matter who the opponent is. We're committed to our habits. We're committed to, you know, our level of execution. And, you know, but I think Hawks fans are going to be like, I want to see it.
Fair enough. Is there anybody on the Wizards roster that if it gets to be a fire sale at the deadline that you think, oh, man, that would be nice to have that one extra piece?
I mean, I think every team in the league looked at Tyus, right? And, you know, Kuzma just signed his contract. Kuzma's a weird fit. You know, he needs a very – on a good team, he needs a very kind of particular fit. Gafford is awesome, you know. I don't see that kind of really being a fit unless the Hawks eventually kind of do, you know, make a move with Clint, you know.
Right.
But those are the ones that kind of – I mean, Kispert can really shoot the basketball, you know, but it's – you know, he's been in a situation where it's been hard to judge him, you know, because it's been such a weird kind of just last few seasons there. Gallo, is he a guy who get traded or is he a buyout guy this year? You know, I don't know what the answer to that question is, you know. What about you? You see anybody over there that you think teams will kind of come asking about?
I mean, the DeLon Wright.
Oh, sure, yeah.
I don't know. I mean, it's hard to yeah. I mean, that's one that stands out to me as somebody that, you know, a pending, you know, he's going to be a free agent. So you just kind of work him for the end of the season. And I don't know. That seems like, you know, like somebody like Milwaukee could certainly use that. Yeah. Somebody like DeLon Wright, like you.
Oh, yeah, that's a great point.
If you lose Drew, like who do you want? You know, they seem to need a little bit more perimeter defense now that Drew's gone and they've got Dame and campaign, but that, you know, they don't have Javon Carter, they don't have Drew. Like they're dying for a perimeter stopper. So I mean that seems like a fit to me.
Yeah, Miami without Gabe Vincent, right?
Yeah, right.
That's a good DeLon Wright team. You know, Boston, not the deepest team. You know, he would give them, you know, a little bit of what they lost with Brogdon. You know, how much did they need it with Drew there? It's, you know, you don't want to take an injury, but you know, they don't have Marcus Smart on that team anymore, right? So I think that's a good call. Like DeLon is always one of the guys I think is going to be for sure dealt at the deadline because he can do so much to help a team, and it just feels like it never happens. That's why I didn't put him on the list. I don't know what's going on there, but maybe this year, like the Wizards team will be bad enough that he's like, okay, yeah, let's do this.
Yeah.
You know, so, but, and, you know, the Wizards had some really good young players. I wish them well, just like, you know, I root for everybody and, you know, and stuff, but the Hawks should, you know, if they take care of business, it should not be a stressful game on Wednesday. Although NBA game, you never know. Anything can happen. You gotta bring it, because if you let a young team think they have a chance to win it, they're gonna come with all the energy and enthusiasm they can muster and try to steal from you.
Well said. All right. All right. Make that a wrap and say goodnight, Bob.
Good night, Bob.